this afternoon, I noticed that the weather is beautiful, and I'm sure it was tempting to make a trip to the springs, the Box Springs, that is, this afternoon. So glad you're here. Before getting into the actual message prepared for this afternoon, I just want to share just a few things. I love this quote by A.C. Dixon. He was a Baptist pastor, a Bible expositor, and evangelist in the late 19th century and early 20th centuries. Very popular individual back then. When we depend upon organizations, we get what organizations can do. When we depend upon education, we get what education can do. When we depend upon man, we get what man can do. But when we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do. Amen. Just want to encourage you, you know, to pray a lot for the upcoming event and for your other events. You know, there is so much power in strength and in numbers when we pull together to pray unitedly. There is greater power in united prayer than in just praying by yourself. But when you add prayer and fasting together, there's even more greater power. I want to tell you briefly about this book. This morning I mentioned that there's two different New Start healing centers that I visited in Korea. There's this one place, and the director's wife wrote this book. It's called Call Upon God. As I mentioned this morning, 90% of our illnesses begin here. And as my physician friend, Tim Riesenberger, some of you know Dr. Tim Riesenberger, he's heard about this ministry, and this is the way he describes it. What they do there is 10% New Start, is 90% trusting in divine power. And the phenomenal thing there is that they're telling their patients, you need to focus on Jesus. And in gospel workers, we are told that we need to lift up Jesus through sermon, through song, and through prayer. And that's what they're doing there, lifting up Jesus, pointing people to Jesus. And they're seeing people with all kinds of illnesses being healed. I saw an individual with schizophrenia, you know, experiencing healing mentally. An individual for 20 years was lame, could not walk, but comes to this place, hears the messages, and begins calling upon Jesus and begins to walk. Just amazing stories. Anyways, the director's wife wrote this book in Korean, but it got translated into English. The translation is not the best, but it is in English. I have given your pastor a copy. I've also been given the PDF of this book, which I'll leave with your pastor. So if you're interested in reading the stories, it's just story after story about people who have experienced healing. An individual, a woman with infertility issues, begins to call upon God and begins to think right thoughts, begins to forgive those who she had trouble forgiving, and she gets pregnant. You know, just amazing stories. So for those of you who are thinking about doing the Daniel fast, for 21 days, you call upon God. Focus on Him, call upon God, and see what He will do for you. All right. Do you believe that with God all things are possible? Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your promises. We thank you for the hope that you give to us. Once again, Lord, rain down your Spirit upon us. Father, we can do absolutely nothing without the aid of your Holy Spirit. Please, once again, make your strength perfect in my weakness. Please work through me and please work in spite of me to bless and encourage your people. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to share with you a story. And this story is kind of like the Mooli story I shared this morning. It's kind of like the Mooli story in that it has a very sad beginning, but it has a very happy ending. And typically when I share the story, the title of the story is The Best Nightclub in Seoul. I'm going to tell you a story about a person who met Jesus at a nightclub. Now you believe that can happen, right? Because your pastor experienced conversion at a rave. The subtitle is Better Than Any Nightclub in Gangnam. So I have a very dear friend, a very special friend, who used to love going to nightclubs in Korea, especially in the Gangnam district. And when this friend was in college, there was only one thing that she enjoyed more than nightclubs. She loved to drink. She could drink like a fish, and she could drink more than the guys. This former alcoholic today is my wife. And I can testify that a former alcoholic can be a wonderful godly wife by the grace of God. Now, when my wife was in college, she could always find a good reason to drink. When the weather was good, great reason to drink. When the weather was bad, it was an even better reason to drink. Liana went to sleep thinking about alcohol, and she woke up thinking about alcohol. And the reason she drank so much is because the alcohol would numb the pain and the sorrow in her heart. She had experienced too much pain and suffering growing up as a child. She went to 5 different elementary schools during a 6-year period. This was because her family struggled with poverty and had to move around so much. The worst part was that her family didn't know Jesus. And her home was a constant war zone, constant fighting going on. Now, as she puts it, in an actual war, you can go hide and you can dodge the bullets. In her home, you can't. She could not dodge the abusive words. And when she was in middle school, she started to experience severe depression. There were many nights she went to sleep in tears. Growing up, there were 3 things that Liana did not know. She did not know what joy was. She did not know what peace was. And she did not know what love was. Instead of joy, she only knew sorrow. Instead of peace, she only knew about guilt. And instead of love, she only knew about hate. And what's worse than hate? It's indifference. Yes, and she knew all about indifference. And she used to ask this question, why me? Why me? Why so much suffering from a very early age? She was asking this question. Of course, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Liana did not have Jesus, and she was dying. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The devil began to destroy Liana's life at a very early age. And by the time she was in college, she had become a slave to alcohol. She was depressed and entertaining thoughts about suicide. She could not see herself living past the age of 30. So what happened to this former alcoholic? Well, it all began with English. Liana was in her 4th year of college, and she hated English. Now, in Korea, if you want to be successful, you want to get ahead, it's important to know English. And English is just giving everybody a lot of stress in Korea. So she's in her 4th year of college, and she felt like she needed to study English. She had an older cousin who was very bright, and had gone to a really good university, and she asked him, where should I go to study English? And he said, it would be good to find an STE language institute near your home. Go and study there because they are the best at teaching conversational English, but be careful because the Seventh-day Adventists are a cult. That's the way it is in Korea. And so he said, do your best, but be careful. And so my wife found the nearest language institute, Adventist Language Institute, near her home to go study English. And she wasn't interested in hearing about God or about the Bible. On her first day, the teacher begins the class with prayer. And she has all the students join her in prayer. And my wife couldn't believe it. She looks around, and all the students, they close their eyes, they're bowing their heads, and they're praying. And she's thinking, these poor students, they're being sucked into this cult. My wife had a hard time focusing on the lecture that day, and she's thinking, I need to go confront this teacher. With her poor, limited English, she approaches the teacher, and basically she says, teacher, we school our teachers a monkey. What's she trying to say? She's saying, we've been taught in school that we have evolved from the monkeys. And the teacher said a few things. My wife had no idea what the teacher was saying, but my wife understood the next part. The teacher says, would you like to have Bible studies? You can meet me next week at such and such a time at such and such a location. Now, my wife at that time, she was very selfish, but her mind was very calculating, and she was thinking, I don't want to study the Bible, but if I go study English, that's 1 hour of free English conversation. So she agreed to meet next week, the following week. And the first Bible study opened, the Bible opened, and the first verse they looked at was Genesis 1:1. in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And my wife was just so amazed. This one verse, in that one moment, the Holy Spirit just spoke to my wife, and so many of her questions were answered. In fact, one of the most important questions that she had had in her life was the question, where am I from? And it was answered by this one verse. And after that first Bible study, my wife was hooked. It was no longer about English. It was she wanted to know more about this book. One day, her teacher says, please come to Friday Night Club. It's free, so please invite your friends. And my wife is a level one student, and there were many things she didn't understand, but she knew the word nightclub. And she's thinking, this place has a nightclub? This place can't be a cult. And she was thinking, I want to invite my friends, but I'm going to go check it out first before I invite my friends. And so that week, she was thinking about what she was going to wear to this nightclub. My wife was also thinking, where in this building, I mean, all I see are classrooms, there's an auditorium, where in the world would they have a nightclub? Maybe in the auditorium, they move all the chairs and tables, and maybe they bring in lights, and they bring a DJ in, and maybe that's where the nightclub is. My wife said, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it, I'm just going to show up. So she came that Friday evening, dressed for a night of drinking and dancing. She meets the greeters at the door, and of course, she realizes, of course, this is not a nightclub. She was a little disappointed, but not for long. She went in. The music was different. There was singing. There was piano playing. It was so different from the kind of music she was used to, but it was nice. There was a message that was shared, and it was translated. There was a translator translating the message into English, and my wife could understand all of it. And it was a very wonderful experience. And then after that, the teachers and the students got together to mingle, to spend time together. And my wife could not believe it because she had always believed that there's no way you could open your heart and have a conversation with others without a sip of alcohol, because that had been her life. And she had experienced this joy that she had never experienced before. You know, it was so unlike the nightclubs. I mean, they were exciting. They were fun. But when the night was over, the darkness would come back. The depression would come back. But here, it was different. And Friday Night Club soon became her favorite nightclub. And as she continued to attend the nightclub, I mean, the language institute, she observed the teachers, and she knew that the teachers had something she did not have. The teachers didn't drink alcohol, they didn't smoke, but they were so happy. She wondered, how is that possible? They didn't wear expensive clothes, they didn't wear heavy makeup and jewelry like she did, but they seemed so secure and confident. She wondered, how could this be possible? The teachers had something she did not have, and she wanted what they had. One day she decided to ask the $64,000 question. Every Korean student asks this question. Do you have any idea what this question is? It's, how can I improve my English? Everybody wants to know the secret to improving English. Well, she had a good friend who also studied at the same university that was at the Language Institute. He was really gifted in languages. He not only was studying English, but he knew Japanese and Spanish. So she went to this friend and asked him, what can I do to improve my English? And his response was, take as many religion classes as you possibly can at the Language Institute. Because the main purpose of the Language Institute is to introduce people to Jesus, so every hour they have religion classes besides the English classes. And the religion classes are offered at a discount. So my wife first began studying during her fourth year of her senior year in January. When summer rolls around, she had two free months, July and August. My wife signed up for the 7 a.m., the first English class in the morning, and then every other, as the Language Institute was open in the morning and the afternoon, every religion class that was offered, my wife took it. So it was one English class and seven religion classes, all morning and in the evening. Now in the afternoon, the Language Institute is closed. But if the Language Institute had classes in the afternoon, she would have been there also. And that summer was the best summer of her life. I mean, she was so amazed as she was studying the Bible. The Bible talked about everything: history, philosophy, psychology, sociology, politics, law, literature, poetry. The Bible even talked about alcohol, and she knew that what the Bible said about alcohol was true. And the most amazing experience she had while reading the Bible was a personal encounter with a very special person. For the first time in her life, she meets a person who understands her deepest desires and the struggles of her life. For the first time in her life, she felt that she met someone who genuinely loved her. Who do you suppose this person is? It's Jesus. Very good. I was in the Philippines speaking to a bunch of young people one day, and I asked, who do you think this person is? They go, it's you. I go, no. I'm a sinner. Not me. She met the sinless one. She met Jesus. As she read the Gospels, she could not hold back the tears. She saw how Jesus treats sinners. He does not condemn, criticize, or manipulate others. He always spoke the truth in love. Have you met this Jesus? Leanna had a personal, supernatural encounter with Jesus through this book. One day she comes across these words: with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And she was amazed by this promise. And she asked, could this be true? She was an alcoholic, she was poor, and her future looked uncertain. But Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. And my wife began to dream. She heard about a school in America where you could study the Bible all day long. And she wanted to go abroad and study there. But she doesn't have the money. It looked impossible. But the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. She also had this other dream, to travel around the world, to see the world. But of course, that requires money. Her third dream was to become fluent in English. Now, she knew that with her first two dreams, if she just had the means, she could do it. But this was a real impossibility, speaking English well, because she was really struggling with her English. Even though she struggled with her English so much, when she was in religion classes, amazingly, the Lord would open up her ears. She would understand the teachers. And when she had questions, the teachers would understand her. And whenever they gave an answer, my wife always went home satisfied. The Lord had just really blessed her with the gift of tongues as she was coming to know the truth. So her third dream was to speak English well, and then her fourth dream was to one day go back to Korea, and she wanted to teach the students English as the missionaries had taught her English. Because they had made such an impact on her life, she wanted to do the same for others. Well, God helped Leanna to quit drinking alcohol, and God made everything that seemed impossible possible. Leanna went to America, and she studied at the school where you could study the Bible all day long, which is Andrews Seminary. And then a few years later, she went back there and got a second master's in English. And thus far, Leanna has been to 35 different countries, and 10 out of the 35 countries, she's visited more than 3 times. So she's done a lot of traveling. She's like, I think I've done enough traveling. Now, to make all these things possible, God needed someone with a U.S. passport that could teach her English. By the way, anybody here have a U.S. passport? Do you know how blessed you are to have a U.S. passport? So God needed someone. And guess who God chose? Yours truly. So I used to ask God this question: why Leanna? Back when I was in college, I realized one day that if I married the wrong person, I could be very, very miserable, and I could ruin my life. Okay? I had played the dating game, and then I realized that, you know what, this is so serious. I need God to choose for me. And I ended up at a Bible college, and I'd been hearing these stories about how God actually brings people together, just as he brought Isaac and Rebekah together. And so, long story short, God brought us together, and, you know, as we began our journey together, I learned more about her life, and I learned more about the depth of the suffering and the pain that she'd experienced growing up. And so I used to ask this question, why Liana? You know, it's one thing to hear about somebody who's suffering so much in a far off, in a faraway country. It's another thing when it's somebody so close to you that has gone through so much pain and suffering. Now, Jesus has suffered more than any of us will be called to suffer. But Jesus never asked his father the question, why me? Because of his suffering and his death, millions will be saved to live for all eternity. Amen? Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Through his stripes, through his pain, suffering, and death, millions have been redeemed. There was a reason and a purpose for the suffering Jesus experienced. So Jesus never asked, why me? But what about all the suffering Liana experienced in her life? It serves no purpose. It's meaningless. And all there is left are the scars. So I used to ask this question, God, why Liana? But I don't ask this question anymore, because God has now given me a reason to thank him for the scars. One day, this was a few years ago, this young man came to Seattle. His name is Andrew, and he has a very unique testimony. Andrew, at the age of 16, went to prison for 10 years. God worked a miracle, and he got out after 10 years. He should have been there for longer, but while he was there, he opened up this book, and it changed his life. And Andrew will say that spending 10 years in prison was the best thing that ever happened to him. So he was back in town because he lives in the Philippines, but he was back in Seattle where his mother lived, and one night he was sharing his testimony. Now, I had heard his testimony many, many times, but on this one night, he was sharing with a group of individuals who were living in halfway homes, a bunch of ex-convicts and recovering drug addicts. And he had a Q&A after his testimony. And someone asked him, what is your favorite Bible verse? And he says it's hard to say because there are just so many. And then Andrew mentioned that he had memorized the book of Philippians because he really likes that book. And then he said there's a verse that I really like in that book. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, the Apostle Paul was under house arrest when he wrote these words. Isn't this beautiful? The things which have happened to me have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Can you see why Andrew appreciates this verse? Andrew had spent time in prison, but because of what God had done in his life while he's in prison, now he has this amazing testimony, and he's sharing this testimony in churches, in schools, and in prisons around the world, telling people about Jesus and giving so many people hope and encouragement. As I was hearing Andrew share this about this verse, I started thinking about Liana. Liana had never spent 10 years behind bars like this young man, but she had spent more than 10 years in a prison called depression. And I believe Liana suffered much more than Andrew did. Do you know why I say this? Andrew went to prison, but he met Jesus there, so he was not alone. Jesus said in John 8:36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Yes, he was behind bars, but he was truly free. But Liana, growing up as a child, did not know Jesus and experienced terrible depression. So I believe her suffering, mental and emotional suffering, was way worse. As I heard Andrew sharing about this verse, I thought, God, if you can take the things that have happened to Paul and use it for the furtherance of the gospel, and if you can take the things which happened to Andrew and use it for the furtherance of the gospel, then could you not take the things that happened to Liana and use it for the furtherance of the gospel? Yes or no? Amen. And I don't know what you've been through, but God can take your experiences and use it for the furtherance of the gospel too. Amen? I went home that night and I told Liana, you need to write your story. Now, my wife never enjoyed writing. She's not a writer. But I knew she had a good story. And I knew that with God, all things are possible. Amen? I said, you need to start writing your story. And I began praying for her. And we were praying that God would give her the right words. We were claiming Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. And there were some other beautiful promises we were claiming. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Joseph said to them, his brothers, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Joseph is speaking to his brothers. After Jacob dies, the brothers come and they bow down before him. They are afraid that Joseph is now going to take revenge on them for what they did to him many years ago, now that the father has passed away. Joseph had suffered so much because of his brothers. But notice what he says to his brothers. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Isn't that amazing? So this was one of the promises that I began to claim as my wife began to write her story. I started praying that God would use Leanna's story to save many lost people. The devil meant it for evil, but God, you meant it for good, to save many people alive. And we began to pray that God would turn this book into an evangelism tool that would reach many, many people, introduce many people in Korea to Jesus, and would help many people in Korea understand the precious truths that we've been blessed with, such as the Sabbath, the state of the dead, the second coming, and many, many other truths. She began to write her story about how God led her to the Language Institute, about her conversion experience, about how God led her to make a decision for baptism. And then, you know, she just kept writing more and more. And we began praying. We began praying big prayers. We began praying that the book would be scattered like the leaves of autumn. Because we are told that our publications need to be scattered like the leaves of autumn. There are many who will trace their conversion to the reading of, you know, our materials. So we began praying big prayers. Do you believe God wants us to pray big prayers and expect great things from him? In Desire of Ages 6:6-8, it says, he is well pleased when they make the very highest demands upon him that they may glorify his name. They may expect large things if they have faith in his promises. Well, a few months later, after she began writing this project, we were in Korea. We were actually on our way to China. We were in Korea, and we met an editor at the publishing house, the Korean publishing house. And he read over the manuscript and says, you know what? I think you should write a few more chapters. And he made some suggestions. And then a few months later, he read it. He read what she wrote, and he said, and you should write a few more chapters. And she's writing more and more. You know, she ends up writing about dating and marriage and why it's so important that you not be unequally yoked. I mean, she's writing about all these things. I mean, she even mentions about standards, because when she went to the SDA Language Institute, she noticed that these Adventists were different than the people in the world, and how that had made a deep impression on her. And so she's writing all these things, you know, that pertain to what we believe and about our lifestyle. Long story short, several months later, in December of that year, the book got published. And the editor thought that the title should be Friday Night Club. So we had prayed that God would turn it into an evangelism tool, and that it would be scattered like the leaves of autumn. Did God answer our prayers? 2 months after the book was published, the publishers decided to do a second edition printing because they wanted to make the book available to the cop hoarders in Korea for distribution. We're like, wow, this is amazing. And then one day we visit the Adventist University, and she meets this individual who says, I'm doing prison ministry, and I'm taking your book into the prisons. We're like, wow, praise God. And then one pastor sent us these pictures. This pastor who used to work for the SDA Language Institute. This woman that he's standing next to is very well known in Korea for having memorized lots and lots of memory verses. And what she does is she visits our Adventist junior high and high schools, and she gives these books to the students, telling them to read it and ask them to write a book review. And she awards them prize money to the students who write the best book reviews. Okay? And then we started hearing about how at churches, in many churches, they started making this book available to all the youths. Last summer, there was a youth conference. And the purpose of the youth conference was revival for our Adventist youth. The theme of the conference is, I am an Adventist youth. And a number of people who were involved in this decided, let's give every young person who comes a copy of Friday Night Club and as well as a couple of other spirit prophecy books. They gave the book Steps to Christ, and I believe the other book was Mount of Blessings. So once again, these are the students that wrote book reviews and were awarded prize money. A few months ago, at our Adventist university, there was a student that took his life. And there were many people, including these call porters, that were thinking, what if that student would have read the book Friday Night Club? Would the outcome have been different? Anyways, the call porters got together and they decided, let's raise the funds and give every student at the Adventist University, there's 5,000 students there, let's give them all a copy of Friday Night Club. Now, the school administrators were all in favor of that because of new government regulations, they can no longer make religion classes mandatory for every student. And a good percentage of the students there are non-Adventists. And so they wanted to give every student there, as a gift, a copy of Friday Night Club, as well as a copy of Friday Night Club, as well as another Spirit of Prophecy book. So here are the books that were donated to the university. And what we often hear from people is that the book Friday Night Club, it covers everything. You know, it covers the Sabbath, it covers standards, baptism, second coming. It just covers everything. And a call porter recently shared with her that this book has just been such a boost to the work of literature evangelism in Korea. We read this earlier. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as this day, to save many people alive. Isn't that amazing? God took the worst experience of Liana's life and has used it to share Jesus and to give hope to hundreds, to thousands, to tens of thousands of people. What a wonderful God. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Please understand that not all things are good in themselves. Evil is not good. Disease is not good. Depression is not good. But all things work together for good to those who love God. By the way, when the Bible says all things work together for good, all means all. Amen? It even includes the pain and suffering you have experienced because of your own poor choices. It includes all the experiences you went through even in your BC days before Christ. God can even use those experiences and bring good out of it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, verse 16, that is, it says, rejoice always. Anybody can rejoice when life is going well. But we Christians are called to rejoice always, even when we are facing impossibilities and challenges. Whether or not the sun is shining, whether or not our team is winning, whether or not we are healthy or hurting, we can rejoice. Amen? We can rejoice because our Redeemer is sitting on the throne. And he lives. We can rejoice because we belong to him and because he is making all things new. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. In gospel workers, we are told prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret of spiritual power. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, this was a verse that I used to have trouble understanding when I was young. There was a time when I was very sick. I was so sick, I just wanted to die. And I did not feel like giving thanks. That was the last thing I wanted to do. Do you know why we are told to give thanks in everything? In Ministry of Healing, speaking of this command, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, we are told this command is an assurance that even the things which appear to be against us will work for our good. Are there things that are against you today? Do you have enemies? Do you have trials and challenges that seem to be against you? Even those things can work for your good. God would not bid us to be thankful for that which would do us harm. The reason we can thank God for our problems is because God can turn them into blessings. Every miracle in the Bible first started as a what? As a problem. Can someone say amen? Are you facing problems? God can turn them into miracles. I don't know what kind of pain or suffering you might be going through. I don't know about the trials and tribulations you are facing. What I do know is that the devil wants to use these challenges and these difficulties to destroy you, and if you will murmur and complain about your problems, the devil will drag you down effectively, and he will destroy you. But if you will look to God, and by faith, you will thank him for the challenges, for the trials, and choose to rejoice, he can turn the problems into blessings. The devil wants to use our problems and our enemies to destroy us. Friends, we need to thank God for our enemies, and Jesus calls us to love our enemies. Let me give you a good reason to love your enemies. God uses them for your purification. Andrew Murray, in his book, Humility, has said, "Look upon every person who vexes or annoys you as God's instrument for your purification." I hope that something you've heard this afternoon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Once again, just want to ask you to get into small groups. Let's just get into small groups of twos or threes, and let's pray for each other. Pray that God would help us to move forward by faith, praying without ceasing, rejoicing always, in everything giving thanks, that we may bring glory and honor to him. It's an old card, but it has my email address on it.
That's good.
Yeah.